Hello and welcome to Docupied, podcasts about anime, manga, light novels, and other industry news. I'm your host, Brandon, otherwise known as DocPay, and why don't we jump right into the news? There's quite a bit going on since the last episode, which was only a week ago, but considering everything going on in the world, there's a lot of news. First up, the Mangamo manga subscription app launched on iOS, and now I'm sure you know I read a lot of manga, and this is really interesting to me, but no Android version and no web version on launch, just iOS. So personally, it's completely inaccessible. I don't own a single Apple product, and there's no way for me to get on the service and check it out. I know there are a number of publishers connected to this that are adding their series to it. I'd love to have some more information here, but maybe I'll check it out eventually when they release an Android or web version. But if you happen to be an iOS user, check it out. It is an official, licensed, properly legal version manga subscription app called Mangamo. Look it up, see if that's something you're interested in. In visual novel news, something that I've talked about in previous episodes, I'm a big lover of the science adventure visual novel series. I had an old friend, Steiner, on the podcast before, where we talked about all things Steins Gate and related. And on that front, just today, Robotics Notes Elite and Dash were announced to be releasing in a pack together on October 13th for the PS4 and Switch. And they'll also be coming out on PC via Steam, but the pack is just for the consoles, I think. And this is awesome news. We hadn't had a date before on when they were coming out. We knew Dash was coming out eventually, and we knew Elite was coming out eventually, and they just dropped that news today. So very exciting. If you're into the Science Adventure series, you liked Steins Gate, maybe you watched Robotics Notes the anime. Well, Elite and the sequel, Dash, are very, very much worth checking out. If you like those at all, you'll like these. And if you like the show at all, obviously, you'll like the visual novel probably even more. I have them on Vita in Japanese, but these are the official English releases. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait for October. Speaking of things probably we're going to have to wait till October for, or later, here's the delays since last time. There have been a number of TV series and films and conventions that have all either been canceled or delayed due to the ongoing global pandemic. A couple of them from this season specifically. The Millionaire Detective was delayed. Appare Ranmon was delayed, both of which I am very sad about. I quite enjoyed the first few episodes of these shows, but the safety of all the staff involved is, you know, the first and foremost concern. So I'm, you know, hoping this helps them take preventative measures and etc. Other things that were delayed: Food Wars, the fifth season, Bungo and Alchemist, A Certain Scientific Railgun T, episode 13, let's see, One Piece, Digimon Adventure, Pokemon, Boruto, all have been delayed. I don't necessarily think they've announced when they will air the next episodes yet, but they're just kind of indefinitely delayed for now. A couple additional films have been delayed. The Love Me, Love Me Not film, it's based on a manga, that's also been delayed. And the fourth Evangelion film, it's 3.0 plus 1.0. Who knows at this point? I never suspected it would meet its, what, July release date in the first place, considering everything that's happened. But regardless, it's delayed officially now. You have to keep waiting a little longer, Evangelion fans. Some big news last week was that Comic-Con and then Anime Expo both decided to cancel this year's conventions, and they've never done that, obviously. I think Comic-Con said in their some like 50 years, it's the first time they've ever had to cancel. For anyone who was planning on going or looking forward to those, next year. Some additional sad news: Keiji Fujiwara passed away. A voice actor who played probably some very memorable characters that you might remember. It was Holland in Eureka 7, Maes Hughes in Full Metal Alchemist, Leorio in the 2011 Hunter x Hunter series, and many more. So this is, you know, really sad news, and I wish his family all the best. Moving on from all the sad stuff and negative stuff, here's some good news, some new stuff. Cells at Work, Code Black, is getting a TV anime. I think we knew that already, but they released the PV and confirmed that it's Code Black and all that, and that's really exciting. Cells at Work, the first season, was fun, interesting. You got to learn a little bit about how biology worked, and the manga is also great. Code Black is kind of a flip side, where it's the same premise and show in a guy who is not so healthy. And so Code Black is just like, this is not the best case scenario in the inner cells world. It's a very unique concept, very fun, and this is more of that. Heaven's Design Team was announced. It was getting an anime series. This is a manga, and that's great news for fans. Junji Ito is launching a new manga, horror, obviously, called Genkai Chitai, and the twisted focus of his new manga series will be, I think it's everyday horrors. So if you ever want to be scared about the stuff that happens in your normal everyday life, well, thanks, Junji Ito. J-Novel Club announced a couple new licenses, which was really exciting. J-Novel Club announced some new licenses on a live stream earlier last week, or late last week. Boy, time is really a blur with all this work from home. They announced three new light novel series. The first is Deathbound Duke's Daughter by Tadasu Seno. And conceptually, I think they said it was similar to Bakarina, but with a bit of a twist, more actual danger, and each volume is essentially a route or a new character that it focuses on. That's different than Bakarina. I like the concept, looking forward to reading it. I think the first couple parts are up on their website now, if you're interested in checking it out. Let's see, next is Wild Times with a Fake Princess by Ichiro Sakaki. He is quite a prolific light novel author. You might know him from Chaika, or Outbreak Company, or Blue Steel Blasphemer, and this is another series. So if you've liked any of those other works, which I know I have, was a big fan of the Chaika anime series, wish I could read the novels officially, and I enjoyed Outbreak Company as well. This is another series by that author. They also announced A Wild Last Boss Appeared by Firehead. This is something I've heard a little bit about, so I'm quite excited to jump in and see what that's like. Essentially, a guy gets kind of gender bent into the OP last boss, who is a woman, and I don't know much else about the story, to be honest with you, but I've heard good things. So it's all on their website. Go check it out. I think you can read the first part totally free with a free account and see if you're interested. The first part probably covers a couple of pages, gives you a good idea of what it might be like. I'm a premium member, so I can, whatever's available, as long as the ebook hasn't been put out yet. But anyway, they also announced some new print releases for a couple different light novels and manga. One of them is I Shall Survive Using Potions by Funa, both the light novel and the manga. And I love Funa series, so this is awesome news. Funa works are just fun, light, easy reads. They are, I'm not going to call them popcorn light novels necessarily, but to me, I do, when I get them, I get a new volume for them. I do wolf them down like I do popcorn. Maybe that's an accurate analogy. I'm not sure. Ascendance of a Bookworm manga is getting a print run, in addition to already the light novel, which is getting them. And By the Grace of the Gods light novel is getting a print version. Speaking of By the Grace of the Gods, the TV series was scheduled for fall. It was already announced previously that it was going to happen, but it's now been scheduled for fall, assuming nothing changes between now and then. One interesting thing about the anime is that it is apparently a Funimation co-production. I guess they're on the production committee, which, you know, Western licensors have been getting back on production committees quite heavily in recent years. It helps them secure exclusive rights to streaming, dictate some other aspects of the production or licensing or streaming that they otherwise wouldn't be able to if they were just paying for the show. I mean, that's good news for J Novel Club. They're putting out the light novel and we'll have it in print soon too. How a Realist Hero Rebuilt the Kingdom is getting a TV anime series. That's been announced. The light novel was by Dojimaru. This is not unexpected. The series is pretty popular, somewhat long-running, and is another isekai series. Which brings me to the recommendation section. So I'm actually going to talk about two light novels today, and mostly because they're both relevant to the news, and so I figured I'd talk about them. I'm a big fan of tying things in and keeping things relevant. I was going to talk about another manga series that I really love, but I will save that for next time. There's always more episodes. I'm going to talk about two light novels that are both getting TV anime series that I just talked about. So first is How a Realist Hero Rebuilt the Kingdom by Dojimaru. But here is your general spoiler warning. If you've listened to any episodes in the past, you know that I generally don't talk about any big plot developments, and so in general, I try to avoid anything that can be considered, you know, a spoiler. But, however, I do have to talk about the series, so if you don't want to know anything about a series, you know, characters or setting or kind of overall plot development, and not anything specific necessarily, well, here's your warning that the rest of the show will kind of have some details, but you could categorize it as if you were reading a description on a website. That's about the level. So, How a Realist Hero Rebuilt the Kingdom. There's 10 volumes currently published in English. 11 is coming out on the 26th of April, and this is published by J Novel Club in digital, and Seven Seas is handling the print version. This is one of the early print versions that they got before J Novel Club started printing their own. There was a couple others that Seven Seas handles the print version for. Grimgar, Clockwork Planet was another one, and, you know, How a Realist Hero Rebuilt the Kingdom. I think there might be others. Anyway, this series, you know, at 10 volumes, there's quite a bit of content and story out there. So I'm not going to cover all of it because there's quite a lot that happens in those 10 volumes. What I will say is I'm not necessarily convinced the series is going to make a great anime. I personally enjoy the light novel a lot, which is why I'm talking about it now in the recommendation section. But I don't know how good of an anime this is going to make. I'll watch it, but I've seen similar isekai type stories that fans like, and the anime ends up just a lazy general advertisement for the light novel. Now, I hope that's not the case, but you never know. Anyway, I'm going to set the potential of the anime series aside because we don't even have like staff announcements or anything like that to go on right now, which is what's really going to determine how this show ends up. So I'm just going to talk about the light novel. The light novel itself, Soma Kazuya, is the main character. He is summoned to another world. He doesn't die. It's not that kind of isekai. It's more of a we summoned a hero kind of thing. Almost instantly, the king of the kingdom that he summoned to abdicates his throne and says, "All right, Soma, you're the new king." That's kind of how it starts. This is a fairly sizable kingdom overall in terms of like world. The series does quite a lot of world building. There are a number of kingdoms and they're all important, essentially. You meet characters from most of them and they all kind of have important plot developments at some point. This series just really likes its inter-kingdom politics, military action, things like that. So this isekai is not about the main hero being summoned and being some OP, super crazy, strong hero that saves the world, kills the Demon King, anything like that. Their world currently is being invaded by this demon realm, and that becomes a major kind of plot mover going forward through the series. You learn that because of this, there's been a number of like big geopolitical changes on their continent, and that's a lot of the thrust of the story, is both dealing with that threat existing, or, you know, that threat directly, and dealing with the political ramifications of it with the other countries. So this series takes on quite a high level bird's eye view of things, where in general, in a given volume, you're going to have, maybe they go to war. Maybe it's all about mobilizing the army to tackle a demon invasion or a demon wave, or it's political conflict within their borders, dealing with like diplomatic issues, instituting reform in the kingdom. And so there's a lot that happens, and you meet a lot of characters. The cast of characters is quite extensive, but they all feel generally pretty fleshed out and different from each other. The English version has a bit of trouble with character voice sometimes, I think, but that's something that I think a ton of light novels really run into problems with, where it's just, it's hard to write different voices for different people. I get it. That said, I do like the cast of characters, and I think it makes for a lot of good and just overall positive character interactions. Kind of stating up front, this series is definitely a harem. Soma goes on to essentially marry pretty much everyone. So this is not the dance around the harem kind of series. It's very much a, well, I'm the king and everyone wants me to marry all these people. He gets all of them. Later on in the series, he even starts having kids with them. It's that kind of harem or romance. I do actually think it's quite well done. Each of the main women characters are unique, pretty fleshed out. They get their own time and stories, and they all kind of fall for him for different reasons. It's definitely an excuse to just have every type of waifu you can imagine in the story, but hey, you know, sometimes I'll take it. The early volumes are kind of dedicated dealing with the ramifications and fallout from the king abdicating his throne to Soma so quickly. Then, you know, lots of plot stuff happens, and it moves to a somewhat larger scale. As the story progresses, you know, Soma meets lots of new people from different countries and has to, you know, form relations with them, either politically or, you know, just friendships. There's honestly a lot that goes on. There's a lot to like here. The plots are pretty well written. They feel like characters. They're not perfectly static. They do change and grow, and they definitely grew on me. A couple interesting things that the light novel series also does is they have chapters or sections of chapters from multiple character perspectives. Most of the story is told from Soma, first person. You get to see his insight into everything, and that's definitely the main thrust of the story. But it's really nice to get those side chapters where you see someone who was an original resident of that new world have perspective on what's going on. That's quite good. I like when they do that. Either sometimes it's of the same events you've already seen, or sometimes it's events that happen outside the main narrative, or sometimes it's just they've split the narrative into A plot, B plot, and follow the different narrators that way. And I think it's quite effective when they do it in general. One thing about Soma, the main character, is that he is, let's just say, abnormally insightful. He's not necessarily the encyclopedia of knowledge. I mean, he knows a ton of stuff, and they come up with various in-world, I'm not going to say excuses, but in-world justifications for why he does know so much and has such kind of high level of insight. But while he is the kind of self-insert main character, he is also incredibly insightful. He is able to read into situations and people to an abnormal degree, and that's kind of what allows him to come out ahead as the main character in a lot of the conflicts that come up. He's able to read his opponents, or, and I don't necessarily just mean, you know, physical fighting opponents, but politically or militaristically, etc. He is able to outwit them through his level of ingenuity and insight. He always makes the point in the series that he is not an expert on everything. And so one big focus of the series is the fact that Soma, unusual for this world and this kingdom, is totally focused on results, but also he just doesn't care necessarily anything about a person other than their ability. And I don't mean that in like a negative way, like he only cares about the results kind of thing, but the results of what people do are what matters. It's more to say he doesn't judge people for things that aren't connected to their ability to carry out their task or do their duty or whatever. And he values them for whatever that is, whether it's physical strength or research or, you know, knowledge or experience, whatever it is. That's a big point of the series, is that Soma is always trying to give tasks and give assignments to the right people. The right people for the right job. That's kind of his motto. Well, not strictly anything he's ever said, I don't think, in the series, but that is his main philosophy, is let the person who's best at it do it. Which is not something you see all that frequently in a lot of these OP hero light novels, where they're summoned or died or whatever and resurrected in another world. You know, most of the time, they are the OP person who can do it all. In this case, Soma's like, shit, I can't, like, I'm weak as fuck. Like, I know I'm just not good at this, so he taps out and says, okay, like, I'm gonna delegate this to someone who can handle it, who can pull this off, who can do this better than I can. And that's part of his character. So kind of wrapping all this rambling up about how a realist hero rebuilt the kingdom, I'd say I like the series. You know, I've read 10 volumes, I have the 11th pre-ordered, and I'll definitely continue reading. It's not an action series, there is action, whether that's war or actual character fights that they go through. I mean, people do fight in the series, but it's more in war and less like adventure party magic fights kind of thing. Like, he's not dungeon diving necessarily. You know, he is the king of this kingdom. So a lot of the conflict you find is going to be political or governing, war, things like that. And if that's not your thing, then this series is probably not for you. But if you at all like any of that, like civilization building, kingdom building, if you like the politics side of things, or if you're interested in the maneuverings, either military or political, this series does a really good job of that stuff. So if you're looking for more shonen action type isekai content, that this is not it. But if you like more of a city builder type stuff, this is definitely for you. One interesting thing to note, if you haven't started reading this series yet, I highly recommend you subscribe to J-Novel Club for the premium and buy the premium ebooks on their site. Because each volume has a number of short stories that you can only get through the premium ebook. If you buy it on any other digital platform, you're not going to get them, just through theirs. I'm a sucker for additional, you know, short stories. I want to read them all. So if you haven't read them, and if you haven't bought the volumes yet, do it on J-Novel Club. It's a bit cheaper than buying them on the other platforms, and you get additional content, plus a higher resolution ebook. Overall, just it's a better deal to buy it there. And the next series that I wanted to talk about, the next light novel, is actually By the Grace of the Gods. Now, because we're getting a TV series in the fall, or rather it's been scheduled in the fall, I wanted to talk about the light novel. The light novel is written by Roy. It's also published by J-Novel Club in digital, and like I mentioned in the news section, They have officially confirmed they'll be printing it. And there are two volumes out so far. The third volume will be out on May 31st. This series is very unlike, again, most other kind of isekai light novels. I know if I wanted to lump them both together in a genre, they are both, strictly speaking, isekai light novels. But they are nothing alike. They are both also really nothing like a lot of other light novel series out there. By the Grace of the Gods, essentially, is about this 40-some-year-old salaryman worker in... And again, I know this all sounds really familiar, but it gets different, I promise. In Japan, who dies and is kind of reincarnated in a new fantasy world. Again, the setup sounds incredibly generic. One thing is that this 40-year-old salaryman guy was a crazily trained, you know, beast of a human in our world still. And when he's reincarnated, he is reincarnated as like an 8-year-old. And this really changes things for him. So it's in the title, By the Grace of the Gods. And the main character, Ryoma Takabayashi, develops a good rapport and relationship with these three, you know, plus gods that summon him to this new world. They have a whole reason for why they actually did so, something about transferring magical energy from his world or our world to theirs. It's all kind of good exposition background stuff, but the point being, he actually becomes kind of friends with them. So, you know, they ask him, like, well, what do you want to do in the new world? And so the first volume covers, you know, the first three-ish years of Ryoma's life in the new world. He's reincarnated and placed in the new world as an 8-year-old. He essentially decides to live in a forest for a while. They warn him, you know, to practice his magic and do all this stuff before he kind of jumps into society at large. He takes that quite seriously. So he spends 3 years in a forest, training, living, and generally just experimenting, researching. And one thing that he ends up researching quite heavily are slimes. Again, kind of generic fantasy world. Sort of. It becomes less generic the more you learn about it, but the setup is generic. And this series definitely has the habit of relying on RPG-esque tropes where he has magic and skills, and they level up. That's just a part of the series. So if you're not into reading about skill levels or that kind of thing, this might not be the series for you. But there's a lot to love here still. So if you can kind of get past the fact that sometimes they list out skill levels, you can get into what makes this series unique. The first obvious thing is that the main character, Ryoma, is actually in his 40s. By that nature, he is not like a teenager in either the original world or the new world. He does get reincarnated as an 8-year-old, and that changes some things for him, but you are getting narration of an adult. So as also someone who is no longer a teenager, this is kind of a breath of fresh air, where he is not a teenager, and this is not that kind of romantic comedy series. It is a slow progressing story about a guy kind of rehabilitating from his previous shitty life in a new world, doing so with slimes. He really, really got into researching slimes. You can tame them, essentially, and keep them as familiars. So he does, and he researches their anatomy, their biology, their evolution, you know, how to take care of them, how to split them, and he learns so much about them. So much so that apparently, in the space of the time that he spends there, he essentially becomes like the foremost expert in the world on slimes. He uses them in incredibly creative, interesting ways that you just don't get with other light novel series. Like, yes, he is pretty OP. There's some reasons for that. But it's fascinating the way that he cares for the slimes, researches the slimes, learns about them, tests out their abilities, teaches them things. It's really fascinating for me. So while Ryoma is the main character, and, you know, he has this, like, slime companions, obviously they don't talk. This isn't reincarnated as a slime. He's not Dimuru, and they're not him. It's not like that. They are, like, slimes themselves are sort of like one character together, where they do take part in the plot. The story quickly introduces a bunch of other characters. There's a family that kind of finds him and take him in after all his time spent alone in the forest. They take him to this town, and he meets all these new people and starts to do all these new things. And in the first, like, 2.5 volumes that I've read so far, he starts as an adventurer, which, again, all this sounds pretty generic, but it's not what you think. He spends a lot of time cleaning, like, cesspools and like septic tanks and stuff. Like, it's not what you think. And even beyond that, he ends up starting business. I don't want to spoil anything from the volumes, but overall, I'd just say that the plot is not going to go the direction you think it is. He as a character is not going to follow the tropes that you think he will necessarily. Aside from the fact that he is generally, like, a good guy, works too hard and puts all of his effort into things, that much you can predict and read, and so what he does isn't that unpredictable. But the way the plot advances is rather unique for an isekai light novel. It is slow, it's methodical, they build the world as they need to, they introduce things as they need to, and they layer in a lot of things early so that they can kind of build on them. There's only, like I said, 2 volumes, and then the 3rd is coming out in May, so it's still quite early in the story, but I really enjoy reading it, and as soon as the volumes come out, I barreled through them, and then I even read through the first half of the 3rd volume that was available for Sima Publishing on G Novel Club. I couldn't stop where they stopped in volume 2, and so I wanted to keep going, and, well, there was some more. Now I'm regretting that, because now I have to wait for the rest of the chapters, and, you know, I buy the volumes, I pre-ordered them, because so far the first 2 volumes came with short stories, which I want to read. And so now I have to wait till the end of May, and boy, did my curiosity get the better of me there. But I don't regret reading, you know, the first half of the 3rd volume. It was good. I liked it. It was interesting. And I was just really excited to jump into what happens next afterward. So if that isn't, you know, a recommendation, I'm not sure what is. Yeah. It's, like I said, 2 light novels that are both generic in setup, but unique in execution. So they're not too dissimilar in that aspect. If you liked anything you heard, you know, you're interested in city building or kingdom building politics, or if you're interested in a more low-key isekai type story where the character isn't off defeating a demon king and saving the world, then these 2 are good, interesting ones for you. Now is the perfect time to get into reading them as well, because they're both getting TV anime. As light novel adaptations, you never know how they're going to go. But one thing you do know is that the light novels are great, and they have tons of content. There's lots of extra story bits, character development, narration, and stuff that the anime are going to, you know, because they have to, cut out or leave out. And what you do know is that you can read the light novels now. You can get to know them, see if you're interested, and enjoy these great stories untouched. And then check out the anime when they come out. And you don't have to worry too much about being disappointed. You've already got the story. The anime is just icing on the cake for people who like icing or cake. Funny enough, I'm neither. I don't know why I use that analogy. How about instead it's the cherry on top of your ice cream? Both things I do like. Anyway, with that is the end of my recommendations for this episode. I've rambled on long enough, so thank you for listening. Feel free to follow my Twitter, I am DocPay, for updates. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and please, if you like the show, leave a review. I'll catch you next time.